Here's the punt, and it's blocked! And the Texans chase it to their left, picked up by Scarlett, and he's brought down inside the 25-yard line. The Texans blocked the punt, and they've got the ball in Buffalo territory.
What do I say about the...
Nice play.
What do I say about the special teams after that game where I'm so impressed with the actual, like, the rank-and-file special teams players, like Brennan Scarlett and the rest of them, and yet the specialists themselves, the most important people on a special teams unit, I'm a little dicey on.
Trevor Daniel, that shank off the left side of his foot was rough. What was that, a 25-yard punt?
How many of those? And this is what
we're on three, I think, of those this year.
This is precisely what we were worried about with Trevor Daniel versus Shane Lechler. Shane Lechler had lost his fastball, so to speak, and wasn't ever going to get that back in his mid-40s, but... You feel like the number of shanked punts that Lechler had in his entire career here, I'm guessing I could count on less than one hand, and yet Trevor Daniel is now doing this. That's a risk you take. Other than that, though, the special teams is so much more fun to watch because on every punt and kickoff, I'm not gaping at wide open swaths of green grass
that I'm hoping.
Like, they're running down with discipline. It's a good group. And it's weird. I feel like the Texans winning that game, based largely on special teams play yesterday, that was my Chicago Cubs World Series victory. That was the thing that I never thought I was going to see in my lifetime. But they actually pulled it off. They won a game on special teams.
They did win a game on special teams, but I also think that part of it has to do with the fact that Ray McLeod III is a terrible punt returner. Dude,
well, maybe
catch the ball. He muffed two of them.
The Texans took advantage of that. You block a punt, though, too.
You got to give credit to the spin on the football because that was a tough spin for Ray.
So Trevor Daniel, right? Yeah. Coming back up.
All I'm going to say about Trevor Daniel is when I look at the advanced stats, the Texans are always above average in punting so far this season, and they were well below average the last couple of years. So I'm just going to take those stats, and I'm going to believe them.
I know, but that's hard, though, too, because I think they're covering better. And I know theories was that I know Lechler had shallow punts that he outkicked the coverage, but that coverage sucked.
I think the coverage has been clearly better, but they also aren't getting a lot of punts returned against them.
So then why are the – okay, so you're gonna blame Lechler for the fact that the kickoff coverage is better too?
I'm just saying punts.
I'm just saying the coverage has improved. So
you're
saying net punts better, but part of that's because the coverage is taken care of.
I need to find the stat of how many punts they're having returned. I think they're having far less of their punts returned.
Oh, actually even
like,
returned.
Period,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And I think that's actually a big part of their success so far, is just not having those returned.
I'm not going to jump. I'm not in the mood on a Monday morning after a victory to jump all over a punter. He's just a young fella.
They're 3-3. Three, three, and ten.
Division lead, Brian.
They're in charge.
Division lead. Unfortunately, Brian was in Boston last night.
Yeah.
So the Houston Texans again, 3-3, first place in the AFC South. Thank you, Jacksonville Jaguars, for pooping your pants against the Dallas Cowboys. Thank you very much, Tennessee Titans, and your $140 million offensive line allowing 11 sacks of Marcus Mariota, 11 sacks, 10 completions. That's pretty funny. Hey, what's the top audio coming out of the Texans' 20-13? Thank God for Nathan Peterman existing win. Well, let's start off with Jadeveon Clowney talking about a really memorable play. I want to say, when we look at Chris Ivory and his hair, specifically his dreadlocks, those are some sturdy suckers. Jadeveon Clowney at one point brought Chris Ivory down by one strand of his dreads.
We need input from our listeners here. What do we call that? Is it one lock? Is it one dreadlock?
That probably makes sense.
Is it one braid? Like, what do I call that? I don't want to be culturally insensitive here. Let me know.
I think braid.
No, and listen, no stoned out white dudes with dreads. I don't need your input.
We don't want to hear from you.
Give me actual black people opinions on this.
Fair.
One braid pulled down by it after the game. Jadeveon Clowney was asked about that tackle.
I've been pulled by my hair a few times, but hey, I made a part of the uniform, and if I can reach for him again, I would.
That was an amazing play because I'm sitting in the press box, so the play is happening towards us, and I'm sitting next to Paul, and I'm wondering, okay, your initial thought is, did he bring him down by
horse collar?
The horse collar, yeah, by the inside of the uniform, and then you look at the replay, you're like, and the amazing part is, you wonder how much force would it take to actually rip out the one dreadlock if that couldn't do it.
That's what I'm saying. Chris Ivory needs the hair care product endorsements.
Yeah.
Whatever product he's using, that thing's like stronger pounds per square foot than spider webs. Yeah. That was ridiculous. I was sitting up in section 342, I actually got hooked up with some really good seats from the Texans ambassadors over there.
Good.
That's what I can't reiterate enough how much I love the Texans players. But anyway, but it was from far away. Like, from that far away, it looked like a violent horse collar.
Yes.
So, I'm thinking, was like, oh, damn it, Clowney, another penalty. You had the offsides. What the hell's going on?
Yes.
And it ended up being that you're allowed to do whatever you want. If that's the risk you run, that's the risk you take when you have those dreads. I think that the swag offsets the risk of being tackled by your hair. I firmly believe.
You think it's a fair trade?
I think it's a fair trade. Okay. I'm so impressed by people that, A, have the hair and have worked at it that long, and B, can handle the extra heat that it provides, because it's like you're wearing a winter hat all day long. I don't know how those guys that have like big thick heads of dreadlocks make
it
through the heat.
At least he's in Buffalo.
Do we have any input yet? What do I say?
I'll check the text line.
It's called a lock, so he's pulled down by one lock.
One lock.
All right.
Up next, as we count down the best sound out of the Texans 20-13 win over the Buffalo Bills, Tyrann Mathieu talked about how before Jonathan Joseph's game-winning 28-yard pick six, which was such a relief for everyone who was sitting next to each other in the press box. I mean, I think I just sat back, give a couple of like low-key high fives, because that's apparently frowned upon, because I was just relieved that this game actually was going to end not after an overtime. But Mathieu said Jonathan Joseph was a psychic on this one.
I was rotating to that side with them. The play before that, J.J. looked at me and said if they run that same concept, that he was going to jump it. And he jumped it. He walked in.
And I got a bone to pick with Larry and Stafford, who wanted to cut Jonathan Joseph a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. What was that all about?
Jonathan Joseph is maybe not the same player that he used to be. But, I mean, this guy is still as on top of it from a football IQ standpoint as you're going to get. And he has played ever since the end of that Colts game where he made that play on the fourth down. He's played out of his mind, I think, the last couple of weeks, and he's bounced back. And this is one of the things that he does. He gets better as the season goes along. This is historically true of Jonathan Joseph.
No, and I think, again, I think it's evidence of Romeo's staff that they get smarter as the year goes on. And it's frustrating sometimes because they don't get the fast start that you expect them to. You get y'all wound up. The pass rush is really starting to pay dividends, too. You see the Bills at times yesterday where it didn't seem like the Texans had a good pass rush. It's because they were max protecting. And use it a lot of the times. Sometimes they didn't get a good rush going. And then Jadeveon Clowney, too. He's just so much fun to watch. I get frustrated sometimes because when he lines up at that inside linebacker position, you're like, all right, Jadeveon, everybody knows you're rushing.
Yeah.
But then I think the psychological advantage is better because that offensive guard who sucks also knows that you're rushing. And that dude, when he gets moving, it almost doesn't matter. He's a grenade.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, look, I know you're going to throw that hand grenade at you. Well, yeah, you're screwed. That's what it's like when Jadeveon's coming at you.
Tell me if you guys buy this answer from Bill O'Brien as we go back through some of the best sound from the Texans 2013 win over the Bills when he was asked if Watson's injury affected the team's play calling.
No. We just have to figure out how we can improve. We got to get better.
Okay, well, it obviously affected it to the extent that in the previous two games, they had some design runs, options. My biggest thought on how the injury affected Deshaun is that he clearly did not want to run at all, except for the one scramble that he had in the first half where he dove to get the first down. But you could see on the goal line series in the fourth quarter, on third and goal, he had some room to operate. He could have run. I don't know if he would have run the ball in because he was 10 yards away, and those guys are fast. And the Bills defense is, by the way, the best defense they faced all season long. I give McDermott and Leslie Frazier a lot of credit. But I thought Deshaun clearly did not want to run past the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is how it affected the game offensively.
Yeah, and look, as far as him holding on to the ball too long, he actually got rid of the ball faster than he has for most of the season yesterday. But it's still not fast enough on all circumstances. It's hard to isolate with a young quarterback like that. Okay, on any specific play, it's easy to point out that he held onto the ball too long or tried to make something out of nothing. But his whole rhythm in the internal clock is off because he just never knows from one play to the next. Is this the play? Is this one of the many plays that Julio and Davenport's going to get beat immediately? And I don't know. I saw David Carr go through this. David Carr didn't have the talent that Deshaun Watson did. But, man, getting hit by NFL-sized men week after week after week can permanently ruin you. And now I'm starting to get worried about that.
And he's got nowhere to step up recently. That's I think, the biggest problem. And the passing lanes are just not there for him. And look, how can you go through progressions if you can't even step up and move a little bit?
He did do that early, I think, on that one, that little misfire to DeAndre, where DeAndre was open down the seam. Or was that Fuller down the seam? Again, I was not damn watching in the stands.
I think it would have been QT. Was it?
Oh, it was QT. It was QT.
Yeah, they almost connected.
Yeah, it was QT. He did climb the pocket a couple times, and I thought he did that instead of kind of bailing out the back or seeping out to the side. He did climb the pocket when it was there, so I think he's made some progress so far. It's just it's a mishmash.
We have some more clarity on the text line, by the way, that has to do with the dreadlocks. So DeAndre Hopkins said on Arian Foster's podcast that you call them dreads, not dreadlocks.
So one dread.
Yeah, I don't know now. But Tab's wife is Jamaican, and she says he was pulled down by a single lock.
One single lock.
Okay. Like, oh, come on, don't move the goalposts on me here. You're not even supposed to call them locks.
Yeah.
Maybe the young kids aren't calling them locks, but it's still like, I'm not being a damn colonizer by calling it a dreadlock, right? Is that the old term for it or something?
Yeah, I don't know how it originated.
The Jamaican lady is calling it a lock. I'm calling it a lock.
I like it. As we continue to go back through the best sound after the Texans 20-13 win over the Buffalo Bills, there was a taunting penalty that was called against the Houston Texans on none other than Jadeveon Clowney after Jonathan Joseph's game-winning pick six. Here is Clowney talking about that taunting penalty afterwards.
I was just trying to congratulate my boy. I said, man, good game, homeboy. He dapped me up. The ref threw a flag. I asked the ref, I said, would you throw the flag on me? He was like, yeah. I said, for what? So you was in his face. I said, what I said? Did you hear? He was like, no, but part of the game, I guess. They didn't change the rules. You can't even speak to the other team, so I say good job, whatever. And then he came back out there and was like, you got that flag? I was like, yeah. He was like, that's crazy. I was like, oh, whatever. So something you got to deal with. It's whatever. We won a game. I don't care.
I mean, it's not a huge deal, obviously, especially when you win the game, but it's the kind of play that could be a big deal, especially if you were facing a viable football team with a good offense. Because if you're kicking the ball off from the 20-yard line, that's a pretty big deal. Now, thankfully, the Bills screwed up again on special teams because the dude fumbled it, and all of a sudden he was tackled at like the 12-yard line. So as it turned out, it didn't matter. But even though you get the pick six, that penalty, not an ideal situation because of where you're kicking off from. I mean, I don't know if I'm buying that explanation. It sounds good the way he explained it, I guess.
I'm not buying this dreadlocks being a symbol of oppression either, like the lock word on it. I think that's a homonym that somebody's mistaking. I've looked into this history of it now, too. Like, yeah, I remember, like, locks of hair. It doesn't mean, like, you've got shackles on your head. And other cultures have had dreadlocks, too, like Indian cultures and everything. I need to find out the history of the word. We're going to have to, you know what? Jonesy, put in a request for Arianne. I want to talk to him about this topic specifically, because now I've got people coming at me telling me I'm not supposed to be saying dreadlock, and I'm not buying it.
Also, the word dread, I mean, like, whoa, I'm supposed to be scared of someone that happens to have locks?
That's almost worse. Like, yeah, right. like I'm Mark Cuban walking down the street at night, afraid of anybody with dreadlocks?
I mean, I'm not going to be scared of Jadeveon Clowney or DeAndre Hopkins if they come up to me, but if I do see a white guy with dreads, I probably would be a little scared.
You're going to try to buy pot from him?
Well, no, he's going to ask me for change. That's the problem. Then maybe he'd have pot if he's dressed nice. if he looks like he shops at a nice thrift store, then maybe he's someone that has pot on him.
Is Mark Cuban more scared of black guys without dreads or with dreads? Mm. I think he's more scared of black guys without, actually, because he's in the NBA, you don't see the dreads as much as you see in the NFL. He's probably scared.
Not as much anymore.
He's probably scared of the dreadlocks.
I would think so. And one last piece of audio. J.J. Watt says that his resurgence is proving everyone wrong as he leaves the NFL now with 7 sacks.
You know, everybody told me I was washed up, so it's, I know some people didn't think I'd get 7 sacks for the season, so I'm just trying to keep doing what I'm doing. I got great teammates around me. I love the guys. I love playing ball. You know, doing whatever I can to try and help the team win, but it's just nice to play football again. I'm just very happy to be out there, and if I can continue to keep the lead, that'd be great.
Actually, I said you'd have 8, JJ. 8.
Yep. Mad Radio was not a J.J. Watt doubter. Both of us, all three of us, I should say, had J.J. with over 7 sacks. Both Paul and I had 8. Seth Payne had 12, so it looks like Seth is going to win that one. He might have undershot it. We'll see what happens.
Wait, I won what? 12 what?
12 sacks.
Oh, where yeah, we did the, yeah. I was pessimistic about JJ, apparently.
Well, we had eight.
So still, now I've got people are telling me that you are supposed to call them locks, not dreads, because the dread is the negative connotation. Somebody call in and tell me what the hell I'm supposed to call dreadlocks.
713-572-4610.
I know the ALCS is going on. I know the Texans are leading the glorious AFC South, but I got to get to the bottom of what the hell I'm supposed to call dreadlocks these days.